Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Thursday, February 22nd, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 13th of Adar, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. At the end of this show, we'll have a Torah thought for you from Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York. Now, let's get to the news. Some breaking news is coming in now that the Israel Defense Forces have declared it safe for Israeli residents who were living 4 kilometers away from the Gaza border to finally return home. That's a big deal, as it's been more than 5 months of war where people have been displaced, living in hotels, in their family homes, friends' apartments. To all those who have just received the word that they can now move back to their homes, at least if they are 4 kilometers away from the border, residents of Zikim, Karmia, Yad Mordechai, Erez, Or Hanan, Ivim, Sderot, Niram, Gavim, Mefalsim, Saad, Alumim, Reim, Magen, Nir Yitzhak, Shlomit, Neve, and Bani are all part of this return plan, and those who live there are encouraged to consult official authorities to find the guidelines for their return back home. Congratulations, Mazal Tov. We have a significant development coming out of southern Lebanon right now. There was a targeted assassination which has rocked the town of Kafr Ruman in Lebanon. 2 whole floors of an apartment building were decimated in the attack, leaving a scene of destruction. Initial reports say there are at least 3 people dead and 3 individuals injured in the aftermath of this attack. In response, Hezbollah quickly cordoned off the area, which experts say indicates that the individuals killed were likely associated with the terror group. Early this morning at 7:49 a.m. on Thursday, so that was today, 1 Israeli was killed and between 8 to 11 others were wounded during a terror attack outside of Jerusalem. This is a developing story. We understand that the terrorists took advantage of a traffic jam near the Ma'ale Adumim interchange on Highway 1 going toward Jerusalem near a checkpoint. A 4th suspect was detained as well. The Palestinian men from Bethlehem carried out the attack during rush hour traffic while vehicles were sitting at a standstill. During this time, the terrorists got out of 2 separate vehicles at the same time and began shooting people who were sitting in their cars with automatic weapons. Those who were injured by gunfire were taken to hospitals in Jerusalem for treatment. One of the victims was a pregnant woman. One of the terrorists was 26 years old, while the other 2 were both 31. An Israeli named Arik Ben Shimon told the press today that his son, Hanania, who was just released from 4 months of reserve duty in Khan Yunis, Gaza, was injured in the leg and pelvis during the attack, but still managed to retaliate by pulling out his weapon and shooting the terrorist. This was all while his mother was next to him in the car. Hanania reportedly shot through the car window to neutralize the attacker, who was out on the road. He then got out of his vehicle and shot the man directly, which neutralized him. The Israel Defense Forces raided the Bethlehem homes of the suspects after they completed this heinous attack. Traffic jams at this checkpoint are a common occurrence and have become a major security concern. The deputy mayor of Ma'ale Adumim says, "Driving with Palestinians on Route 1 is a ticking time bomb. The Israeli government must stop the shared travel of Ma'ale Adumim residents with Palestinian vehicles." 2 anti-tank missiles were fired in the Upper Galilee region, which damaged a house in Kfar Yuval and an open area in Kiryat Shmona. No casualties were reported on this incident up in the north. The IDF closed many roads and areas following this rocket attack. Sirens sounded off in Eilat early in the morning when the Arrow aerial defense system went into action and intercepted a rocket that was detected over the Red Sea. The IDF said the rocket never made it into Israeli territory. The IDF confirms the missile was sent by the Iran-backed Houthis in Yemen, though they do not claim responsibility. The Houthis have launched many missiles toward Israel since the start of the war in an effort to show solidarity with Gaza. Every missile sent has been a miss or has been intercepted. They have also targeted commercial ships in the Red Sea, disrupting global trade routes, which has caused a major economic issue. The Iranian-backed group's motives are clear, given their slogan is "Death to America, Death to Israel, Curse the Jews, Victory to Islam." Part of those news bites you just heard were powered by our new partner, Bernie News Network, also known as BNN. For fast and precise updates from Israel, you can join BNN on WhatsApp and Telegram by going to their site, bernie.news. Monday evening, an unprecedented impeachment vote took place against member of Knesset Ofer Kassif, and it failed. 85 lawmakers out of 120 voted to boot the far-left politician from parliament. This is due to Kassif's public support for South Africa's case at the International Court of Justice, accusing Israel of committing genocide. Kassif is the only Jewish member of the Arab-majority Hadash Ta'al party, but not the only member of the party to outwardly support South Africa's case. Following the impeachment vote, chaos erupted in the plenum. Arab legislators hugged Kassif, while right-wing lawmakers accused him and his supporters of being Nazis and, quote, terror supporters. The motion to expel Kassif was supported by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Yesh Atid and National Unity parties did not fully support the motion, however. Most of their members of Knesset sat out of the impeachment vote. Monday, the IDF released recently discovered footage of Shiri Bibas and her two young children. This is the second clear video clip found showing Shiri clutching her two baby boys, Ariel and Kfir. In this surveillance video clip found in Khan Yunis, Gaza, you can see the woman walking with her two babies while surrounded by Hamas gunmen. Then they cover her entire body in a sheet and force her into a car. This is the first video proof showing them alive since their kidnapping on October 7th. Video from that day of her capture has been etched into the minds of people all around the world as the clear video became almost the face of the October 7th hostages, when you witness the woman in complete despair holding her two redheaded babies while being escorted out of her home in the kibbutz near Oz by screaming terrorists. I'm sure that anyone listening to this broadcast has seen that video. It sort of became the face of this hostage situation. And now we have a new updated video. The IDF cannot determine if the Bibas family are currently alive or dead. In November, Hamas claimed that the IDF killed the mother and children in an IDF airstrike. The IDF suspects that this may be untrue and rather a tactic of psychological warfare. IDF Arabic language spokesperson Avichai Adrei confirms they've been transferred to another terror group in the Gaza Strip. Father and husband Yagden Bibas is also held in Gaza in captivity. However, he's being held separately from the rest of his family. Yagden's sister Ofri Bibas Levi is now urging the IDF to circulate this new piece of video footage in an effort to remind the world about her loved ones, whose fates are still unknown in Gaza. Little Ariel and Kfir were just 4 years old and 9 months old when they were captured. Last night's weekly Sunset series was a major hit and success. We had a special program with the creator of the hit TV show Fauda. He is a colleague of mine that I worked with to create a docudrama for Showtime about the assassination of Imad Mughniya, who was a top-level commander in Hezbollah. The show is called Ghosts of Beirut. I was the researcher for that, and Issacharov wrote the show. Wednesday night, he spoke to my community, for which I'm an organizer. I organize a community called Tribe Tel Aviv. When I'm not doing journalistic stuff, when I'm not reading, writing, and producing, I'm hosting programming and events for Olim Chadashim, that translates to new immigrants in Israel. And he gave the breakdown of history including the rise of Hamas in power in the Gaza Strip. He enchanted us all with his stories of being a young journalist sitting in the homes of top terrorists for interviews as an Israeli Jewish journalist. He even shared some vulnerable moments, like the time that he got a call from Israel telling him he'd better get out of Gaza because he was about to be kidnapped. He actually was able to get himself out in a car while taking some back roads that he was familiar with. He answered questions about his writing process for his shows and films. He was just simply excellent. Tickets for the events were completely sold out about 2 days before. However, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you can join us at Tribe Tel Aviv for future events. Keep an eye on our Facebook and Instagram pages or sign up for our newsletter for the Tribe Tel Aviv organization. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News Podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute whatever feels good for you. To make a one-time contribution to my special wartime coverage, which we at the Israel Daily News Podcast take very seriously, type in my name, Shanna Fold, and GoFundMe into Google, and you'll find that right away. If you've heard your name in recent episodes or at any point, send me an email with your mailing address at shannafold@gmail.com, and I'll respond with a handwritten note to show my appreciation. Thank you to Daphna Shochat for getting in touch with us and letting us know she's been a loyal listener for years and for contributing to the show. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at IsraelDaily.news as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. United Airlines announces that it will resume direct flights to Tel Aviv next month. All American aircraft carriers suspended flights to Israel after the October 7th massacre by Hamas on sovereign Israeli territory. United will be the first airline to restart it. Until the fall, direct flights to Tel Aviv will only be through Newark Airport. United strives to have nonstop flights to Ben-Gurion Airport here in Israel on Boeing 787s, and that's supposed to start March 6th. Return flights to Newark are set to begin in May, depending on the security situation in Israel. The Israel Airports Authority reports that Delta Airlines is looking to restart flights to Israel in May and American Airlines in November. And now for a Torah thought on Parsha Tetzaveh, with Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York.
I don't normally like to make my Devar Torah the same as my weekly email that I sent out. So if you're one of those lucky few who receives my Sunday emails, I apologize if it's a bit repetitive. But it's such a great message from this week's Torah portion that I just really wanted to get it out there. And it fits into what I spoke about last week, about inspiring other people to do good deeds. In the temple service, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, would wear special garments. And one of the garments that he wore was called a me'il, and it was a long tunic. And on the bottom of the tunic, it had bells that would jingle every time he walked. And that's a very strange thing. I mean, just to jingle around while he's walking, it's very odd. Why would he do that? Just to call attention to himself? It's very flashy and showy and gaudy. It's a very unexpected thing to have during the temple service. But the lesson that it gives us is very profound. And that is that, yes, normally we do want to sort of fly under the radar. We want to be modest. We don't want to be in the spotlight because it's arrogant and haughty. But the truth is, nowadays, when there is such a dearth of good, moral, decent behavior, we need to do everything we can to encourage people to get out there and do good things. And so when you do a mitzvah, when you do a good deed, an act of kindness, of charity, of love, it's really important to make noise about it, not in a superficial or arrogant way, but in a way that calls attention and inspires people to do the same thing. So don't just do a mitzvah. Don't just do a good deed. Make some noise about it. Let it be made known. Not in a haughty way, of course, but in an inspiring way. Every mitzvah that is done because of your example will reflect well on you and ultimately bring about the redemption of the Jewish people and the whole world. Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Thursday, February 22nd, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 10 degrees Celsius and a high of 18 degrees. That's 50 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 65 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off now with a song called Paraparim by Yaara Sholian. Have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. האגם עומד ורוקד פושד, מעולם לא העזתי לצלול שם.